Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
This is KJ and Lyons. KJ Carson and John Lyons right now on WEEI.
What a game.
Yeah.
Can't believe it just happened. I'm shocked, Mike. I wonder how many people will look back and point to the fourth quarter when we let go of the rope and Miami got all that confidence and how much that affected today.
You watch them come off the court right now. They are feeling pretty good. They all played well. Celtics ball here with 1.6 on the clock. And that's going to do it. The series is tied at one game apiece as we head to Miami. Again, this is, no one thought this was going to happen. No one thought. Everybody said maybe they steal a game at home, but nobody said they win game two.
Even how the game unfolded, it seems like we were going to take over in the second half, and it just wasn't there.
There have been few things in my life in the last 5 years that have shocked me. Tonight is an absolute shocker at what happened at the Garden. KJ and Lyons, a special edition here on WEEI. Celtics lose 111-101. John, because I'm out of words temporarily, how would you describe what you saw tonight, the Celtics?
Well, I'll tell you what, KJ. I'll give you a word. It's a four-letter word, but I can say it on the radio. Capital U-G-L-Y. Ugly. That's what we saw tonight at the TD Garden. And it was a really frustrating night for the Boston Celtics. By the way, the Bruins don't look now. They are winning late in Toronto. Hopefully we'll get to at least one Boston win tonight. But
focus, John.
Yeah, as far as the Celtics go, I know I have my eyes on the Bruins game as I say this. But look, the frustrating thing for me, KJ, I wasn't shocked that Miami won a game in this series. Coming in, I thought the Celtics would win the series in five games.
Did you think they would win game one or two?
No, but that's the thing. So I'm not shocked Miami won a game. I am shocked that they won game two in Boston. And not just that they won, KJ, it's how the Celtics looked in this game. I mean, how many wide open threes did Miami have? I mean, Miami came out, KJ, they hit eight threes in the first quarter. They were telling you from the jump, we are going to shoot a bunch of threes tonight. And how long did it take the Celtics to close out on threes? It felt like they weren't creating enough pressure at the three-point line. I mean, it was just a really frustrating night defensively for the Celtics, and that fed offensively. I mean, missed free throws. How many easy shots did they miss in the paint well?
Let me ask you this. Did Joe Mazzulla get out coached? Did he get Spoelstra'd?
I think he did tonight, yeah.
And this is the concern going into the series. It's like, hey, could Joe potentially fall asleep at the wheel at the wrong time against one of the best coaches we've seen in the NBA in the last 40 years? And my goodness, like, here's the thing that I was thinking when I was watching this game. I was like, the Celtics should be able to walk down Miami because they can't stay this hot from outside, and they virtually have no mid-range game. So when Jimmy Butler's there, you would have to respect Jimmy Butler at the elbow, down in the post, potentially send doubles, and then maybe three-point shots get hit. This was literally kind of taking a mirror to what the Celtics like to do and do it better than them, and that is embarrassing. And you're right. At what point does your superstar say, you know what, I'm Tatum, I'm coming out on Tyler Hero, and I'm going to put length in his face. I'm going to get in front of some of these other guys. Highsmith should not have the 3-for-5 open from three off the bench. Are you asleep at the wheel?
Yeah, we also saw Kristaps Porzingis' worst game as a Celtic tonight. He was 1-for-9 from the field, and he only played 30 minutes, the least amount as the starters, 0-for-4 from 3, 6 points total. He did have 8 rebounds, but this was Porzingis' worst game as a Celtic. Jaylen Brown, I thought, was great tonight. Derek White had some moments, but other than that, and again, Tatum had a couple moments too, but I mean, Horford, 6 points off the bench. Pritchard played 20 minutes off the bench. He was a -5 with 0 points. Like, there was just a lot of ugly basketball tonight, a lot of missed easy shots, a lot of, and And Scal said this on the broadcast, like, right, if you're going to be a championship team, it starts at the defensive end. And I thought in game one, we saw a good defensive effort. Tonight, there was a few minutes early in the second quarter where I felt like they had good defensive effort. I think Hauser had a block it during that sequence. But other than that, I mean, again, how many times did the Heat get free releases on threes? And like I said, they shot eight threes, or they made eight threes in the first quarter. They were telling you from the jump, we are going to shoot a bunch of threes tonight. And it felt like the Celtics just never adjusted here to the Heat strategy to do that. And the Heat kept hitting them. I mean, the Heat, KJ, they hit 37 shots tonight. 23 out of those 37 shots they hit were threes. Like, that's nuts.
You can give me all those numbers. I say the Celtics were asleep at the wheel. I think
they were going to roll.
617-779-7937. Text line 37937. Special edition of KJ and Lions. Bruins up 3-2 against Toronto, looking to go up 2-1. They're in a power play that could take them to the rest of the end of the game. So maybe we get to the good news a little bit, but I think this is just so disappointing that I wonder if Joe Mazzulla figured what worked in game one wasn't going to be adjusted by Miami in game two. Like, if you thought that Miami would finish with their entire starting five in double figures and damn near have another bench guy in double figures, this is bigger than just, like, this screams effort to me. Like, you can't stop anybody? Nobody?
Yeah, and like, look at it. Like, Jovic, 3 of 4 from three. Caleb Martin, 5 of 6 from three. Tyler Hero, 6 for 11. Jacquez Jr., 3 of 6. Like, all these guys are getting open looks. Like, it's, and I know some of them are contested, but a lot of these threes, these guys hit open looks. And like you said, that's how you turn in. Every starter has double figures. Hero's got 24 points. Martin and Adebayo have 21 points each. Like, Adebayo didn't shoot a three. He just feasted inside the paint. And everyone else, it felt like, could shoot a three open pretty much whenever they wanted. Just a really, it was a frustrating night from Mazzulla, frustrating night defensively from the players, and offensively too. It just, and again, I use that word at the top, ugly. Like, that's what it looked like. Like, I'm not shocked Miami won a game, but to win a game in Boston like this, that's shocking.
Inexcusable. It could be a learning lesson, but now, like, I don't think that the Celtics are going to lose this series. I'm not jumping off of that. I don't think that's the case either. But if you're trying to build yourself to be the legit championship team, if you look at what Denver did the other night, right? Like, these are the things that make you champions. And when you're going up against the lowest rated opponent, you know, the lowest seed in your conference, and they don't have their superstar, nor do they have another piece of the backcourt, and Terry Rozier is missing, why are we even discussing a 1-1 series after two games going down to Miami? Because now, though they may have this energy, and maybe the Celtics wake up when they get down to Miami, but why even wait for that? You almost have to say, man, game three should be the game where some guys could probably relax, see what they can attempt to do, try and steal the game, knowing that Miami's going to give it every effort. Now it's almost like Miami feels like it could play with house money. And here's the bigger concern I have, John. Is Joe Mazzulla now going to get out-coached again, where game three is going to be closer than it even needs to be?
Yeah, and the other side of this too, like, this is a game that last year's Celtics would have lost, the year before they would have lost, and the hope was
the Atlanta series.
The hope was you would get to the playoffs and you wouldn't lose these games. And to the Celtics' credit, so many times during the regular season, they won games like this, games that we looked back on and say, yeah, last year's Celtics would have lost this game. And instead, this year, they've largely won those games. But tonight, this is another, like, this to me is a repeat of game one against Philadelphia last year when Joel Embiid didn't play and they lost at home. Like, it's like a mirror image of that. Like, no Jimmy Butler, no Rozier. And again, it's not that Miami won a game. It's that they won game two in Boston when the Celtics defense never adjusted, didn't contest virtually any threes, and then offensively they missed free throws, they missed a bunch of open shots. I mean, how many bad turnovers did the Celtics have in this game too? Like, that's another piece of this too. Like, if you look at the total turnover numbers, the Heat had 14 turnovers tonight. The Celtics had 13, so the numbers are close, but the Celtics were just so untimely and in such bad spots when they could have gotten open shots or could have got fast breaks. They just killed themselves left and right tonight, it basically in all areas of the game.
Here's what's more embarrassing, John. Celtics only had 21 free throw attempts. Miami had 18, shooting all those threes. Yeah. So if they're shooting all those threes, why are you not driving more to the hole, trying to get them to defend? Because here's what I was waiting for. Miami's legs to get tired. You saw little traces of it in the fourth quarter, that their legs would get tired, that they would still have to commit to shooting the three, and then the Celtics would be able to walk them down because they've been able to get to the paint or to the line. But they're only 50. I mean, they're 15 from 21 from the line, so that's six missed free throws. So there's 6 points you left right there. Let's just call it 5 points you left sure. on the board right there, and you're barely getting at the free throw line even more than Miami is. I don't get it. Like, because here's the thing. So many of the fan base wants people to pay attention to the narrative that the Celtics are the bee's knees this year, that they are the ones that should win the NBA championship. And then you go and lay this egg tonight. Like, how does anybody take this team seriously? Like, you would have to say, if you're someone like Indiana, you see this, you're like, you know what? All we have to do is show effort and push the Celtics a little bit, and they may crack. Like, this should not have happened tonight.
Yeah, and you made the comparison to Denver. Like, Denver was a couple nights ago, whatever it was, they're down by 20. They end up coming back. Jamal Murray hits the game-winning shot. Like, that's what the Celtics should have been able to do tonight. Like, they're not playing well. They're down by 10, you know, early in the fourth quarter. Like, if you're a championship team, that should be a game you're able to come back from. You know, like, last year, Game 6 against Philly, one of the rare times they've done something like that, they did it. Tonight, they just... The really disappointing thing, too, KJ, and you mentioned the getting out coached and whatnot, early third quarter. To me, that's where this game turned. I mean, the Celtics have that great run to end the first half. Jaylen Brown hits those three threes in a row.
Missing.
And they go up, 61-58 going into halftime. And then in the third quarter, they're just, like, defensively, they're MIA. They scored 18 points the entire third quarter.
But Tatum went missing.
Yeah, it felt like that the game changed those first 5 minutes of the third quarter, and it felt like the Celtics, they made it kind of close a couple times after that, but it felt like they never really recovered from that malaise in the early third quarter.
All right, 617-779-7937, text line 37937, KJ and Lyons, WEEI. Celtics lose 111-101. Bruins win, so we'll get to that as well. We'll check in with our guy Justin Turpin. He's at TD. So hang out. We'll get to your comments and calls next here on WEEI.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
This is KJ and Lyons. KJ Carson and John Lyons right now on WEEI.
Special edition. KJ and Lyons on WEEI. Celtics lose 111-101 game 2 at TD Garden. Absolutely disgusting. You're supposed to be winning 18 and you're out there laying.
Bro, I got to be honest. I am pissed right now. I was watching the game at El Palacio de los Jugos. I cannot believe we got a good game finally for once out of Tatum and Brown both. But, you know, if Joe Mazzulla can't make adjustments, if he's going to lose to Eric Spoelstra in game 2, that means to me that the Celtics are playing like...
Thanks, Danny. Danny brought his sound effects. 617-779-7937. Text line 37937. If you're just leaving the game or you're just leaving the drink and putting it down, you want to get into this. At some point, we were talking about this leading up to the season, right? Would it be Pritchard and Hauser? How would they turn out? And could Joe Mazzulla potentially be out coached? Because we're talking about Tatum having 28 and Brown 33, and they still lose by 10.
Yeah, and I think Porzingis had his worst game as a Celtic. So that's a huge part of this. Like Pritchard, you mentioned, 0 points off the bench. Porzingis, 6 points on 1 of 9 shooting. Even Jrue Holiday, I think he was pretty good defensively tonight. He was a plus 10. By the way, Jrue Holiday, a plus 10. Jason Tatum, a plus 6. Every other starter was a minus by over 20. Porzingis, minus 32. White, minus 23. Brown, minus 22. Like, it just felt like the Celtics could not get out of their own way. Like, even they would start to make a little bit of a run like they did late in that first half, and they go up 61-58, and they just come out totally flat in the third. It felt like they came out flat in the first quarter, came out flat in the third quarter. And it's just, again, I don't know if it's only a Mizzou thing, but this is one of those games that I feel like for the last 4 or 5 years we've been talking about where the Celtics play a team that they're better than. That team has a great shooting night or a great individual performance from someone. The Celtics don't match it, and they lose to a team they're better than. Like, KJ, I don't think the Heat are going to set their franchise record for threes every night, right? That's why you and I agree Celtics are still going to win this series. It's not so much, okay, the Heat had one great shooting night. I get it. But it's the way that the Celtics just didn't close out on so many
of
these threes.
Like,
you know what I mean? That's the thing. It's not that the Heat had one great shooting night. It's the way the Celtics allowed so many of those shots to be easy.
You know what this is? This is a star athlete on a high school team failing phys ed for a semester, like for a marking period. You got an F. You're the star athlete on the team, and you got an F in gym? Like, this was inexcusable. Get it off your chest. KJ in line, 617-779-7937. Text line 37937. Let's go to Jordan Broward. Jordan, go ahead. Let it go, man.
Guys, I have a lot to say. But first, the worst part about losing to the Heat is those Heat fans. Did you hear that guy that just called? They're wasting their time calling this line. But, all right, my wife's a Heat fan, and I have to deal with her. And all I have to say is,
okay, I think Jordan and the last guy live with each other. I think they live with each other.
Yeah.
Shane on the Cape. Shane, thanks for calling KJ and Lyons. You're on WEEI.
Hey, what's up, guys? Late night with Lyons. We got KJ on tonight. You know, glad to hear you both of you together. Good show always. Got a lot to say here. You know, I think, you know, it started at the beginning. I didn't love Tatum's approach at the beginning. I thought he was settling, you know, for some tough contested, you know, shots. And, you know, sometimes when they get into that, you know, they just think they're going to make shots. And, like, it doesn't happen. You're not going to make 27 or how many threes they made the other day every game. Like, you got to get good shots like they did. And then, you know, defensively, you know, they just never got consecutive stops. You know, you go down six, you go down eight, you know, you make a shot, but then, like, you can't get two or three stops to go on an 8-10-0 run. You know, if I have to continue to listen to Scalabrine talk about them playing slow, you know, all the time he's complaining, like, I love Gorman, I'm not going to be able to listen to him anymore because he's talking about playing slow. But the reason they're playing slow is because they're taking the ball out of the basket, you know. The Heat are scoring. You got to get stops. When they got stops, they pushed the ball and got transition stuff. But you got to get stops, and then you got to contest. You know, you got to make an adjustment after Caleb Martin makes two or three threes. You know, Tyler Hero is a really good player. So, you know, you got to be able to make adjustments. You know, obviously it's one game, but, you know, overall, you know, and Derek White was not good. Porzingis was not good. Both those guys have to pick it up. But, you know, I left you with a lot there. You know, got to get it off my chest. But once again, you know, you guys are the best in town. And, you know, keep doing a good job. Talk to you soon.
Thanks, Shane. Yeah, get it off your chest. Even if you have to use a razor blade to get it off your chest. Get it off your chest.
KJ, I want to follow up on one thing Shane said.
I was going to say, you're going to shave my chest. I'm like, hell no, John.
Yeah, well, we're not there yet. You know, give me another year working here. But
another day at Applebee's.
I want to follow up on something Shane said just there about not getting consecutive stops. And I think there's a great sequence. So Derek White, remember that three-point play he had? So
yes.
The Celtics are down 94-86. He gets a three-point play. They're down 94-89. And then all of a sudden the Heat hit a three. They go up 97-89.
Right.
Then Jaylen Brown cuts it to 97-91, and then the Heat hit another three to go up 191. Like, the Celtics did not get consecutive stops, especially in key spots. Shane is 100% right on that. And again, it just was a killer. Like, anytime they tried to get any momentum, anything going, boom, the Heat hit another three. Oh, the Heat make another shot. Adebayo has another, you know, five-footer that he makes, and it just kills any momentum, any run that they had. It happened all night.
Yeah, I wonder, because there's going to be the conversation for people who just look at the box score who didn't see the game. You're like, well, Tatum and Brown went off. What happened to everybody else? No, this is one of those situations where you seem to do everything that people expect you to do, and it's still not enough. And if you've got guys who are nailing threes like that, why are you not making them work on the defensive end? Why are you not driving them to the hole, potentially getting fouls? Why are you not putting more pressure on Bam? Who's going to come in if Bam Adebayo gets three fouls early on? Kevin Love? Do you think Porzingis has problems with rim protection if Kevin Love is in there?
Yeah, Kevin Love, what, one of the few guys older than Al Horford still in the NBA? Like, I don't know.
No, I think he just has more gray hair, I think, because Al Horford is old.
Yeah, that's true. Al Horford's older than I am.
That's what just bugged me so much is, like, if these guys are going off, why aren't you making these guys defend? Tire these guys out. It's no different than a boxing match. Wear them down. Hit them where the body is. Drive into them. Make them get on you so that way when they're on the offensive end, they're just a little more tired. And this is where I go back to the Missoula part is, are the players really kind of running the situation more so than the coach? Right? Do we have to have that conversation again? Like, potentially, like, man, maybe these guys are tuned out. Because there's no – if you – you know what the spread was before the game? Celtics 14.5.
Yeah.
14.5. If the Celtics won by 9, I would say, yeah, Heat gave a great effort. Celtics showed how dominant they are. What the Celtics show me tonight is, okay, yeah, you might beat these guys, but what happens when you go up against the Milwaukee? Or what if you get against Denver, who now specializes the two-minute drill? Like this, like everything is contingent upon this team winning this year, winning it all. The excuses from a couple years ago, those are understood. You've made the moves to address those issues down the middle. You got better guard play. You let Marcus Smart go. And you're going to lay an egg to Miami in game two in the opening round of this year's playoffs? Like, that's laziness.
Yeah, and another issue, too, and it's funny. I actually talked about this, about the Bruins, on Monday night when I was doing postgame. TD Garden has not been a home court or home ice advantage for either one of these teams for a while now. I mean, you look at these playoff series the Celtics have been in, and especially the ones they've lost over the last several years. Like, they lose a home game tonight where they play really poorly, especially defensively. Last year, they lost multiple home games to the Heat, including Game 7, what they lost 3 out of 4 games at home last year in the conference finals. They lost multiple home games to Golden State the year before. Like, this has been an issue for them winning on home court. And even you want to go other than those, like, they lost home games to Philly. They lost home games to Milwaukee the year before that. Like, the Celtics have had trouble winning at home.
Didn't it feel different? Didn't it feel like the Bruins gave the Celtics, they gave each other the energy back and forth to each other after game, between the two game ones? Like, you felt like the energy continued. And, of course, it does because it's from the same fan base pool. But now it's like,
yeah. And look, like, I don't want to overreact to this because, again, the Heat set a franchise record for 3 sitting a game. They're not going to do that consistently. The Celtics are going to play better than they did tonight. It's just,
where's the killer instinct?
And that's the thing. The really, like, the frustrating thing, the deeper frustration about this is another example of something we've been seeing the last 3 years in the playoffs, which it's supposed to be different now, right? We've talked about it all year. Hey, they got Porzingis. Hey, Holiday's won a championship. Hey, Sam Cassell and Charles Lee on the coaching staff have won championships, right?
Van
now they
Gundy
have Jeff Van Gundy.
Van Gundy is a consultant.
Right. They have all these guys that have either won championships or changed their roster. Like, oh, Pritchard's taken a step forward. Hauser's taken a step forward.
Pritchard did nothing today.
And literally nothing. Is 0 points, right? And we have another one of these losses, KJ. And now, like, if you're the Celtics, again, I still think they're going to win this series, but if you want to win this series in 5 games, you now have to go down to Miami, win back-to-back road games, come home and win a game 5. It's doable. They won 3 games in a row against Miami last year. They've won in Miami this regular season. I think they can do it, but it's just you make it harder on yourself than it needs to be. And that's
like
been the story. Like, the story of the Brown and Tatum Celtics has been coming up short and making things harder on themselves than they need to be. And again, I'm trying not to overreact here. It's just, this is one of those games that throughout this season has been different in the regular season, and you would hope it would have been different tonight, and it wasn't.
Well, I think it's one of those things where whatever the narratives have been about Tatum and Brown leading up to now, the team went out and got the reinforcements that you need. You've got a solid guard in Drew Holiday. You got rim protection in Porzingis, and this happens. All right, let's go to Dan and Quincy, but I will preface this by saying this. Nico, have the shot clock ready nearby. Dan, you're on the air.
Hey, how are you guys? Tough game for sure, but, like, I just – you brought up the narratives for Tatum and Brown, and I just think it's, like, it's been such a consistent theme with this team for years where, like, I just don't get why they can't figure out how to play each other, like, with each other or with the team, and it's, like, once they – get punched in the mouth, then they, like, just start going to isolation. They stop passing the ball around. It's early in the shot clock, you know, takes, and it's just scared hero ball. And it's like, you see, like, the pass from Horford on the Tatum cut. That was, like, amazing basketball, sweet to watch. And then they just, like, don't do anything like that for the rest of the game. I don't get why after all this experience that they have, they just continue to, like, not rise to the occasion, get themselves ready to play. And because, like, I think they beat themselves tonight. So why do you guys think that they just, like, can't, like, play, like, rise to the moment?
Dan, thanks for the call. And it's not Danny. Thank you so much. So it's a different Danny.
Yeah.
But that's another Dan. Yeah. Here's what I think Dan's exactly right. It feels like you have two people who don't share the same bed out there sometimes.
Yeah. And Scal talked about this on the broadcast, and I thought it was a good point when he said that it felt like the Celtics were just waiting in the half court for matchups to match up for them and to take advantage of those matchups. And
Miami stayed in zone.
Miami played good defense, and sometimes those matchups would present themselves, but it would be with 5 or 6 seconds left on the shot clock, and the Celtics had to take a rushed or difficult shot. Like, instead of just playing connected basketball, like, I felt, KJ, for the first 3 quarters of game one or 3.5 quarters of game one, they played connected basketball and they dominated. They were up by 34 in game one, and then they took their foot off the gas the last 6 minutes or so in game one, and they played disconnected basketball tonight. That's really why, like,
but
we saw
it over.
Yeah, it did. And we saw a team that was more talented play disconnected basketball, and that's why it's a major reason why they lost. And that, to me, on both ends of the floor, they were disconnected defensively. He got a bunch of easy shots off, and they were disconnected offense. I mean, think about it tonight. The Celtics missed a decent amount of easy shots in the paint. But other than that, I mean, did they have a lot of good ball movement with easy shots, especially from three? Like, I feel like there weren't a lot of just good ball movement, setting up easy shots from either the mid-range or from three.
I think they should have been driving to the hole the whole time.
And they did that in some spurts, and it worked. And then other times, they just went away from it, and they were taking these contested shots. And look, I know you're the Celtics, and you're built to shoot a bunch of threes, but there's going to be nights when you do get outshot from three, and you got to be able to win those games. And that's something that Porzingis has helped them with this year, but he played really poorly tonight, and they really didn't have an answer for it.
Yeah, they didn't. They don't have to defend Jimmy Butler, right? And here's the problem with letting one more game go along. What if Jimmy Butler is available, say, game five? Then you'd say to yourself, oh, my goodness, if we had finished this in four, we could care less if Jimmy Butler was available for game five. Now they're saying that he probably won't be available for this series, but you just don't know. Like, why give any hope to the hopeless? I mean, I hate to use the bully analogy, but it's like, you know, look, if I've been taking your now-laters every day of the school year, what makes you think I'm going to stop on the last day of the school? Like, this is what you have to do if you're the Celtics. And this is why I think there's some type of disconnect between what's being drawn up by Joe and the staff and what the players are going out there and executing. I think it's just, like you mentioned, it carried over from game one into game two. That's already a lack of discipline right there, because if anything, I'm saying, hey, it's really great what you did in game one, but look at these last 6 minutes of the game. Don't let this carry over to the next game. And that's exactly what happened. It's ridiculous.
Yeah,
we gotta get the break.
Yeah, we do.
Go ahead. Go ahead and say your thought.
No, I agree, and it's something that we've seen over the last couple of years. Joe Mazzulla at times has been a little slow to adjust to things. Remember the timeout issue last year? Remember waiting until game six against Philly to go with the double big lineup last year?
The lack of challenges.
Yeah, like, is this another one of those instances where the Heat come out, they hit eight threes in the first quarter, they're telling you, we are going to shoot a bunch of threes, and the Celtics don't adjust right away. And it takes them a while to adjust, and they never really get in a good rhythm defensively, and they end up losing on a night that the Heat hit a bunch of open threes and set their franchise record for threes made.
KJ Lyons on WEEI Special Edition. We still got Joe Mazzulla to hear from postgame. We'll hear from our own Justin Turpin, who's out at TD Garden, plus more of your calls, including Mark and Warwick, and your text at 37937. Right now, time to trend with John Lyons.
We're back to KJ and Lyons on WEEI.
Celtics giving me gray hairs tonight. Jesus. KJ and Lyons, special edition WEEI. Celtics lose 111-101. We'll get to the Bruins, who won 3-2 tonight in Toronto. They seem to be a little more stable right now. But let's get to Mark and Warwick. We'll talk to Joe Mazzulla here in about 3 minutes. Mark, thanks for calling KJ and Lyons. You're on the air.
How's it going, guys? Great show. I just wanted to comment on Kristaps Porzingis and his offensive game. I love for him for when he has a smaller defender on him, not try to shoot over him for an extended free throw line shot every time. I mean, you're not Kevin Durant. Just get to a spot that you feel comfortable shooting it and shoot it. I get he's not the most physical player in the world, but at least show a little resistance and get lower in the post.
Thanks for the call, Mark.
Yeah, and that's something that Porzingis over the last couple of years has been a tremendous player in the post. I mean, last year he averaged the most points per post up in the NBA. He was great once again this year in the post. But to Mark's point tonight, I didn't feel like he tried to really bully anyone in the post. And he had a lot of smaller defenders matched up on him. I mean, that 1-for-9 number looks ugly, but he was only 0-for-4 from 3. So he was 1-for-5 from inside of 3, right? So he just really just it felt like he never really tried to level up and fully match the intensity that the Heat defense put on him. And credit to the Heat defense. It felt like they made a real point to try to take away Porzingis. And I think that's one of the most effective ways to beat the Celtics is if you can take away or neutralize Porzingis. And I think they did a really good job of it, but I think he helped him a lot more than he needed to.
Yeah, I think the other part of it is if Bam Adebayo finds himself in foul trouble, let's just call it what it is. Where are the Heat really? I don't care how much they shot from outside tonight. A lot of that has to deal with there's no inside presence going on for the Celtics. So that was what was so disappointing was, like, all the things that were there for you to take advantage of, you didn't take advantage of. 617-779-7937, text line 37937. 2 minutes away from Joe Mazzulla. Let's get to the text line. Nico, what you got?
The first text we have here, in 9 minutes, Jason Tatum not on the floor, outscored by 18. Mazzulla is an idiot. Durant and LeBron James have 12 playoff games playing a full 48 minutes.
Yeah, you do. I mean, you do
Tatum
wonder why.
Tatum ended up playing 41 minutes tonight, too, just for reference.
Well, the other side of that, though, is the disappearing act during those minutes, right? So you can be out there, but if you don't feel your presence out there, that is an issue, and Tatum can't afford that. Like again, it's very weird to say that Brown had 33, Tatum had 28, and somehow we're talking about them kind of disappearing, or at least Tatum disappearing quite a bit. I think it's during that stretch of the third quarter where there was just really no Tatum that was going on, and I think that was pretty much the factor leading into the fourth.
Yeah, and another guy who was just really disappointing in this game was Derek White, who I've loved all season and I'm a big fan of, but tonight he had those couple possessions in the fourth where he had the and one that he got, you know, 3-point play on, and then he hit the three in the corner. He only had 13 total points. I mean, outside of those two possessions, he had 7 points all game, 4 assists total tonight. I think he had, like, what, 1 rebound tonight. I mean, really just not an impact at all from Derek White, and he didn't really have an impact defensively like we're accustomed to. It's like one thing, right? If he's only scoring 13, but he's playing like the best defensive guard in the NBA like he did for long stretches of this year, fine, you can accept that, but when on one end the Heat are getting wide open looks at three, and on the other end you're only scoring 13 points. And by the way, Jrue Holiday, the other member of their backcourt, only 9 points tonight. So your two backcourt guys, which is one of the best backcourts in the NBA, combined for 22 points. They are a combined minus 13. Derek White was the key charge in that. He was a minus 23. But it just felt like they were let down by their guard play. Tatum had 28 points, 8 rebounds, which is, you know, it's good numbers. But it also felt like, again, like you said, there were times in this game where you're kind of waiting for him to make more of an impact, and it just didn't really get there.
All right, one more text, and then we'll get to Joe Mazzulla postgame. What you got, Nico?
It's either the coach or the makeup of the team. The Boston Celtics don't know how to win.
I did wonder this, if this could be the narrative towards the end of the year. Let's say the Celtics, I still believe the Celtics win this series. I don't want people to think that we're screaming from the top of the buildings here that, oh my God, the Celtics are in trouble in this series. It's just that they're doing more work than they have to.
Yeah.
Or if you're going to give up one of these games, let Miami and their guys get one off at home. You expect that to happen. But you should be leaving Boston up 2-0, be able to nurse things, really adjust what you need to make adjustments for. See what Miami's going to do, and if they get the third game, that's not a problem. It still doesn't change the trajectory of the series. Right now, if the series ended or everybody wins, we're supposed to win. Guess what happens? The Celtics lose. So I think that's more of the conversation piece than it is, it's just one game. It's not that it's one game, John. It's the wrong game, you know? Like, would you want it to be game 7?
Yeah, I hear it. And that's the thing, too. Like, I don't want to over... Like, the Heat had a historic shooting night. I get it. But they also... It was easier for them than it needed to be. And right. that's the real frustrating part. And that's something, again, like, if you're the Celtics... Jason Tatum, I thought the best thing he said all year was that no-skip-steps press conference, like, a month and a half ago, where he talked about the Atlanta series last year, a team that, oh, you know, we could have maybe swept them, and instead... Or, you know, we ended up going to six games against them, and then he kind of caught himself. He didn't say the swept part. But he was like... acknowledging that they messed around too much last year, and he even mentioned the second round, and you thought, okay, they get it, they're not going to mess around, and then tonight they're slow to adjust, they don't match the intensity of the Heat throughout the game. I mean, seriously, Jimmy Butler's not playing, Terry Rozier's not playing. Like, you look, Caleb Martin, and you can say whether that was a dirty play at the end of game one or not, but that dude punked you tonight after taking your superstar to the floor at the end of game one.
Give me your cocktail fruit.
Like, seriously, that dude punked you after taking your superstar to the floor at the end of game one. He punked you tonight, and so did a Tyler Hero-led Heat. I mean, a guy with like a six-foot-long headband punked
you
tonight.
Who was almost traded, who they tried to trade desperately to start the season.
Exactly, who they wanted to swap out for Dame Lillard. Like, they punked you tonight. A dude that put your superstar on the floor punked you tonight. And that's the frustrating part. Like you said... If the Celtics had gone up 2-0 and Miami had won one of the games down there, okay, I wouldn't have loved it, but I get it. They're still a good organization, still a pretty good team. But, like, this is a team that had to fight in the play-in just to make the playoffs, and you played with your food with them here in Game 2. And, again, historic shooting night, I know.
With the cocktail fruit.
But yeah, exactly, exactly.
617-779-7937, text line 37937. Get it off your chest. Plus, we'll still get to the Bruins. It's KJ and Lyons, special edition. Let's go to Joe Mazzulla postgame.
Joe, what did the Heat do so well to take Kristaps out of the game at different times early on and obviously came back on late?
Just up to physicality, switching, higher pickup points. Just got to fight for spacing and fight for those two-on-ones in the screening. But, you know, on many of the screens, they won the battle of the screens, and so we just got to fight to win those.
Joe, how would you evaluate the team's performance tonight and what stood out to you in terms of just the overall differences that allowed the Heat to have success?
I mean, two completely different games from game one to game two based on the schemes, and so we have to adjust to that. You know, more switching on their part, higher pickup points, kind of fight for spacing, less obvious two-on-ones, and so, you know, got to get to our spacing quick and play out of that. And defensively, obviously, they made a conscious effort, you know, the free reign to shoot more, and I thought, you know, most of those were, you know, moderately to heavily contested, and so we're going to have to make the adjustment on some of those.
Yeah, Joe, I was going to ask about the volume Miami was able to generate from there, and in turn, the, you know, way they were able to limit you guys from the three-point line. How did you see that develop as the game went on?
I mean, they're more switching, less doubling, you know, higher pickup points, and then, you know, obviously their adjustment to shoot more. And so, you know, we're going to have to find the balance, you know, because a lot of those guys that made shots tonight are also good drivers, especially getting downhill. And, you know, so we're going to have to find that balance of making sure we close out appropriately. But, you know, we don't want to start opening up the other side of that. So that'll be the adjustment.
Yeah, what was that balance? I know you just said you felt good about the contest you got on those. But
most of them, yeah. Yeah.
What was that balance between, like you said, the drives they were going to be able to get out of those and the amount of threes they were able to hit tonight?
Yeah, I mean, that's the balance of Hero, Adebayo, pick and roll, and being shifted off those guys and getting back out to them and closing out to them. So, but, you know, when you play a little bit inefficient offense from the standpoint of fighting for your space and getting there, that puts a ton of pressure on your defense, and that's the kind of team that takes advantage of inefficient offense because of their ability, you know, to attack at that other end. So, you know, we got to fight for the offensive execution.
Coach, was there an emphasis to get Jaylen Brown going? I know you got him that play out of the timeout. Is it a matter, was throughout that stretch, was that a matter of trying to get him going over and over, or is it just a matter of guys trying to explore the mismatch, find what's the best option, and just
I think some of that was just the best option through the mismatch, and I thought he went on a good run towards the end of the first and had some good plays in the third quarter. So, you know, he picked and chose his spots well. He was pretty efficient on the offensive end, so... you know, we just got to be better as a team, you know, offensively executing our spacing.
Joe, those KP post-ups, especially on switches, have been kind of the safety valve and the baseline for this offense. They were doing all sorts of stuff to, like, deny on catches, really stripping him on catches, making him uncomfortable. What did you think they did really well that maybe a lot of other teams haven't had success with? And how do you feel like you guys, as an offense, should respond over the course of the game when you see that they're getting those deflections?
Yeah, I mean, they did a good job being physical, pushing catches higher, making it difficult for us to take advantage of those switches. And as you said, that's been something that has given us a different look on the offensive end. So I think when you're in situations like that, you have to fight for your spacing. You know, so a lot on some of those, we weren't spaced well. We didn't hold the seals well. So it's just a little bit of everything. You got to be better physically holding seals, make better passes, have better spacing, you know, like just put yourself in position to see the two-on-ones easier and have better execution.
Celtics coach Joe Mazzulla. John, I have a question that I did not hear asked. Why did you not move to zone if these guys are shooting the lights out and you can't get through these picks? Why are you not making the... I saw Miami make an adjustment when they knew that the Celtics would go into desperation mode and start shooting threes from the outside. If you go to zone, do you worry about anybody on the Miami Heat driving in and hitting a mid-range shot?
Yeah, no, to answer your question.
There you go.
And that's the thing. Look, like, and I know people get mad when I say this. Like, I do think Joe Mazzulla is a good coach. The problem is Eric Spoelstra is one of, if not the best coaches in the NBA. And not only did he adjust in between game one and two, he adjusted on the fly in game two. And what frustrates me about that press conference is Mazzulla said, oh, that'll be our adjustment going into game three. Talk about, but it's like, well, where was the adjustment during the game?
Thank
like
you.
Miami's hitting all these threes. And again, some of them they're not going to hit in the future. I get it. But they're hitting open threes on a lot of occasions. And you're not doing anything differently. Like, there's no extra contests as the game goes on. Like, that's the frustrating part for me. Like, he talked about the physicality against Porzingis. I think that's a great point, though, because if you're another team watching this, if you're Indiana, if you're Philly, if you're the Knicks, the Bucks, whoever.
Especially the Knicks.
If you're those teams, you're looking at this saying, oh, so if we bully Porzingis, he'll go 1-for-9 and we'll win? Like, that's something Porzingis has to answer, right? Because Porzingis, look. Love the guy. He's been the unicorn. He's been an elite player all year for the Celtics. But he now teams are going to do this. What do you think Miami's going to do in game three? They're going to try to bully Porzingis, and they're going to try to shoot from the outside. If Porzingis stands up and if the Celtics have better contests, I think they'll win game three, and I think they'll win game four, and I think they'll win game five. But we'll see if the Celtics can adjust. We'll see then what the Heat do off that and if the Celtics can counter that and if Porzingis can stand up.
I just wonder why, and this gets back to what you're saying. Are you not seeing the immediate adjust? There doesn't seem to be an urgency when needing to make the adjustments. Like, after the first half, Miami should have nowhere near been as comfortable taking those outside shots. And even to the point where Miami didn't take as many threes in the third quarter, they just happened to be efficient. So it was like Miami was preparing for the adjustment, went away from the three game for a little bit in the third quarter, and realized it was still there, and therefore still had the energy to still go ahead and do it in the fourth quarter. I think that's what's just the most frustrating is Miami kind of backed off in third quarter, right? Yeah, as they were. They backed off.
I'm glad you brought up the third quarter, and I know we talked about this in our first segment, but it's worth just talking about again because you're the Celtics. You're the one seed. You won 64 games. You're at home. You go into halftime up 61-58, and you come out in the third quarter and you score 18 points. Like, that's ridiculous. And you get outscored 27-18. And then not to be outdone, you only score 22 points in the fourth quarter. Like, we're talking about a Celtics team, best offense in the league. They're top three, and you know, they had best offensive rating in the league, best points per game in the league all year. Like, you get outscored 27-18 in the third quarter at home when you go into halftime with a lead. Like, that's the thing. And it was just the entire third quarter, and for large portions of the night, but for the entire third quarter, KJ, the entire vibe in the building and with the Celtics was just like, oh, this isn't good.
Right.
Like, this is something's not right here. And the problem with that is sometimes that happens, but the problem is championship teams got to overcome that sometimes. And I don't want to crush them yet, but they have to show us. What have we been saying all year? Hey, you got to show us. And in the regular season, they showed us a lot.
Right.
Now in the playoffs, the first opportunity, they didn't show us.
Look, I'm not going to pile on Pritchard, but he just seems very timid out there. At least Hauser seems to be confident in what he's doing out there. He was 2-for-4 from three. But you almost wonder, like, gosh, this is where the calming presence of Malcolm Brogdon was last year, right? That you knew that you were going to get 15 off of the bench. Horford, you can't, you hope to get that. Yeah. But if it's listen, your bench is Hauser, Horford, and Pritchard.
Yeah. And like in game one, Hauser hit those four threes and you got 12 right. points, and it was a huge part of the game. Tonight, he only had 6 points. He wasn't bad, right. but it's not the same thing as hitting four threes, which really helped swing the game in game one and really open things up for the Celtics. And like you mentioned Pritchard in the timid piece of this, like, and I don't want to say this for a fact, but you sometimes get the sense that the Celtics and some of these guys, there's either an intimidation factor with the Heat or they just get easily frustrated with the Heat. And the thing is, if the Celtics look in the mirror on this, like, okay, the Heat upset them last year and really out-toughed them last year. But you know what? The year before, the Celtics won Game 7 in Miami in the conference finals. The right. Celtics beat them in the regular season this year handedly multiple times. Like, if I'm the Celtics, like, that's, to me, another maddening part of this. Like,
maybe it's the power of the mind,
yeah,
right?
Like, the Heat are a good organization. They're a good team. They went to the finals last year. They went to the finals in the bubble. But the Celtics are the number one seed. They beat the Heat 2 years ago in Game 7 in Miami. They dominated the Heat multiple times this regular season. Like, they should not walk onto a court against any team in the NBA besides Denver and have any sort of easily frustrated factor to them or intimidation factor, especially against a team in Miami that 2 years ago they beat in the conference finals. They beat this year multiple times. Like, that to me is another really just maddening part of this. It feels like when the Celtics get down by 7 points against any other team, it's no big deal. But when they get down by 7 points against the Heat, it honestly feels insurmountable, KJ. Like, I felt that way. I was like, they got the deficit down to 7 in the fourth quarter, and I started to feel a little bit better. Next thing you know, it's 11 points, and the Heat never looked back. Like, see, that's a maddening part of this.
See, what I think the Heat have taught themselves with those scenarios you talk about, it, instead of saying, hey, the Celtics beat us in Game 7, they say, Jimmy Butler just missed the shot that would have won it for us, okay? Then the next year, oh, we beat them and we went to the NBA Finals. Now this year, oh, after two games with as dominant as the Celtics have been, and we don't have Butler, we don't have Rozier, it's a 1-1 series.
Yeah.
So the psychology behind it is, who does the noise affect the most? Who's going to try and overdo it? Will it be Pritchard? Would it be because here's the other thing. Now going to Miami, this is where you would say, okay, you don't expect Pritchard and Hauser to be as great because role players are best at home. So yeah. That's what makes it even more disappointing. So the game three may be closer than expected because the bench for the Celtics may not be as productive. They weren't productive tonight, but may not be as productive on the road. And these guys get to go back home, right? They don't have to force anything. Miami doesn't feel like they have to force anything when it comes to this game three. The Celtics do. And this is my concern, is this is our first time seeing this year where the Celtics have some form of urgency tied to what they have to do on the court in the next game.
Yeah, and I do have kind of this question racking my brain. We can probably get into it more after the break, but do you think the fact that the Celtics took their foot off the gas pedal to end the regular season and then had a week off in the play-in tournament, do you think that showed up a little bit tonight? Whereas, like, they came out gangbusters in game one. They were awesome for the first 43 minutes. Then they kind of let up. Tonight they weren't fully with it after two more days off in between games. Like, I wonder if that, and I'm not making an excuse here, but I wonder if that is a little bit of a factor. And then they get two more days off before game three.
I'll tell you what, I'll answer your question after the break here. KJ and Lyons special edition. 617-779-7937. Text line 37937. We'll still hear from our guy Justin Turpin down at TD Garden. I'd love to know what he feels the energy was from this post-game press conference. Hang out on WEEI.
This is KJ and Lyons on WEEI.
Yeah! KJ and Lyons, WEEI, in your mouth worldwide like a Cuban cigar. 617-779-7937, text line 37937. Always good to know some of them Florida people wanted in the mail. John, you had asked when we went to break, did I think that all these things that have happened, that letting the foot off of the gas, the having the week off after not winning the play-in tournament. I think those are things that are all in the rearview mirror, right? I think you can only deal with what's in front of you. It's why rearview mirrors are smaller than windshields, right?
Yeah, but objects in them are closer than they appear, right?
Well, but that's the Eric Spoelstra is that writing on the mirror. Like, yeah, let's just call it what it is.
Yeah, and I think that's the thing. Like, and I don't disagree with the way the Celtics managed the end of the season. I was hoping they would have really gone like all out for one of those games, but I understood it. They rested guys. They came in healthy. The Heat came in a little fresher, and the Celtics, really, like I said, gangbusters those first 40-ish minutes or whatever it was of game one before they took the foot off. But tonight, it just felt like the Heat were sharper. Like, we used that word connected earlier. The Celtics played disconnected basketball tonight, and you wonder if the extended time off played into that. Like, hey, it's easy to play good basketball when you're hitting a bunch of threes like they did in game one. But then when you're not hitting them, then the other team is, and it's like, okay, you got to really buckle down, play good fundamental defense, close out, have good passing to set up open shots on the offensive end. And Scal did make the point, and I know Shane in the Cape earlier didn't like it, but Scal made the point of them playing a little too slow. And I think that was a good point, too. Like, the Celtics did play a little too slow in this game as well. And I feel like a little factor in that was the Heat have been playing competitive basketball for the last month and a half, whereas the Celtics really have played one important game coming into tonight in the last few weeks, and that was game one.
617-779-7937, text line 37937. Let's go to Rick in Franklin, but Rick, I have to ask you before I let you on the air, you're not sleeping in Dan Lebertard's basement right now, are you?
Pardon me?
You're not,
in
Dan Lebertard's basement right now. You're not sharing a Cuban cigar with him, are you?
No, I'm not.
Okay. You were at the game and you see things different.
I do. I think that the Celtics played okay. I think that you guys have failed to acknowledge that the officiating was horrendously bad, and that
Wait, did the Celtics go to the free throw line more times than the Heat?
Yes, they did.
I don't care who went to the free throw lines more times. The Celtics did not. The Miami Heat should have been called for fouls. No one went into the penalty.
Are you sure you're not in Lebertard's basement?
Yeah, look, here's the thing. The Celtics shot more free throws. And when I look at, I don't know, like when he said officiating, I didn't even think of that as anywhere close to a reason.
No.
Like, did the officials not close out on some of those threes? Like, was it right? Did the officials play disconnected basketball?
I could see
in
if this was a battle in the paint or something like that. That's a conversation.
Yeah.
But
and
if
that's
they're shooting
thing
lights
too,
out
like,
from downtown.
It's the playoffs. It's not going to be officiated the same as the regular season. Whether you like it or not, that's the reality. And that's been the reality for, like, what, 35 years now? Like, the playoffs are going to be more physical. And on top of that, the Heat themselves are one of the more physical teams. So you need to know going into a series against them, a playoff game against them, it is going to be a physical battle. And yes, the Celtics are more talented, but talent, if they were playing the Bulls or the Hawks in round one, they would just out-talent them in four games. The Heat, the out-talenting part helps, but you also have to out-tough the Heat, which you don't have to do to every playoff opponent. But the Heat, you do. And in game one, the Celtics, to their credit, did. They hit a bunch of threes, but they were tough enough. In game two, they weren't. Another reason why the Heat won.
John, I think we've got another Lebertard Cubano smoker. It's a call from Florida. David, you're on WEEI. Go ahead. Just make sure you remove the wrapper first before you talk.
Yeah. I'm about north of Miami, and if you guys could be so helpful.
Yeah, there he goes. Oh. See what happens when you're in the basement of Lebertard's smoking on Cubanos?
And it's
look, here's the thing. Here's what's funny. I'm glad that Miami gets to celebrate a game on the road. They get the narrative for the next 2 days. Congratulations. My memories would be hard too. But at the end of the day, with all the coaching that you have on this Celtics staff, and this is what it's designed for situations like this, the Celtics need to learn from this adversity. That's just what it is. Like, let this be the mistake you learn now than to learn it in the Eastern Conference Finals.
Yeah, and that's, it's funny. That was the one thing that went through my mind late, like if there was one positive to pull out of this game for the Celtics, and it was tough.
Pull out of.
Yeah, it was tough to have any positives in this game.
Couldn't get out of it.
But if there was one positive, it's like, okay, if the Celtics go on to win this series in five games, and then they get into a tough situation in the Eastern Conference Finals against the Knicks, they can look back on bouncing back after this loss, right? So if they're able to do that, sure. But again, it's one of those things you, like, yes, it will be good if they bounce back after this loss and win the next two in Miami and go up 3-1. Yes. But you would have liked to have seen them bounce back in this game. And right. That's it. And look, credit, the Heat shot lights out. I'm not taking that away. But the Celtics made it easier for them than they had to. And it felt like in game one, the Celtics came out and they threw the punches. Whereas in game two, the Heat threw the punches. The Celtics took them and they didn't punch back enough.
617-779-7937. Text line 37937. Special edition of KJ and Lyons. Nico, what you got on the text line?
Everyone just needs to relax. I am not a Missoula apologist by any means, but it took a historic effort by the Heat to win this game.
Yeah, but it wouldn't have taken a historic effort to adjust the defense. At least make the game reachable in the last 2 to 3 minutes. If this is a 5-point game in the balance, then you know, John, my narrative would be like, despite Miami shooting the lights out, the game was still in the balance. That never was the case. Did you ever feel like the Celtics were close?
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like I was thinking this earlier. They get down by 7 points against any other team. And it's, yeah, okay, fine. They get down by 7 against the Heat, and it doesn't feel close. And I think it's part of it's the way Miami plays and how physical and how tough they are. But it's just, again, they got the lead to 7. Next thing you know, it's 11. And that 11 feels like 20. Like, it just feels like, again, it's this little thing with the Heat. And it's also a credit to the Heat and how physical they play and how tough they are. But that, it's just... that it felt that way tonight. Like whenever the Celtics got in, right, even that 61-58 halftime lead felt good, but you went in halftime thinking, oh, the Celtics didn't play that well. Like Jaylen right. Brown hit 3 threes at the end of the first half. I think he scored 11 points in the final 2 minutes. Like he was great. They get the lead, but you still went in halftime thinking, oh, well, they didn't play that well in the first half. They just played really well in the last couple minutes. Then they come out in the third quarter and they're just awful. Like again,
flat.
Credit to the Heat.
Flat. Yeah,
but the Celtics just, they had that one good 2 minute stretch late in the second quarter and they never built on it after that. I mean, they scored 18 points in the third. 18 points is 18 points.
All right, we'll see if we can catch up with our Justin Turpin out at TD Garden. Maybe we'll get some press post game from Jason Tatum, find out his thoughts as well. Plus, we still got to talk about the Bruins pulling it out in Toronto tonight. It was impressive. Jake DeBrusque is the man right now. And plus, this whole goalie rotation thing, I think the conversation should stop. The final hour of KJ and Lyons next on WEEI. Thanks for hanging out.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.